Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I never should have brought up vibrating anal beads to start the podcast because it's just too much. But anyway.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Hey, everybody. This is exciting. I know I always say that. It's like a broken record.
You also always say that you always say that.
I know. I do.
And then you probably always say that.
Yeah. Whoa, who's that? Michael? Listen, Michael's here. Why?
From a submarine.
It's because that's right.
I hate you so much.
He is. He's in a submarine. And listen, it's another episode of Greg Doesn't Know Movies. We haven't done it in a while. It's wildly successful. And we're bringing it back today. We also have an interesting guest, Aaron Ekblad. People in South Florida or hockey fans know him. He's the Florida Panthers veteran defenseman. Cool cat, I would say, because the Panthers are called the Cats. Get it? He's a cool cat. We talked to him about a lot of different things in and out of hockey. Fun stuff. But before we get to Aaron Ekblad and Greg Doesn't Know Movies, I have to talk about scandals in sports right now. And there's a couple of them going on. I want to talk about what's happening in chess. The world of international chess. It's an amazing scandal that's happening connected with the U.S. Chess Championships in St. Louis.
It's going to be one of those stories where it's like, there's a scandal in chess. I found that interesting.
Well, I did find that interesting, but not
this
for
reason. This is about the guy who's the champ was cheated on, right? Not cheated on, you know, someone cheated.
Right.
He has such a chess name. Isn't his name like Hans something?
Yes, it's Hans Niemann.
Yeah.
He's only 19 years old.
Wait. What country is he from?
I think he's an American, or at least he's a citizen.
I thought there was another champion.
Well, the guy he beat, controversially, is a guy with another chess name, Magnus Carlsen, who's like the world champion.
Yeah, that guy's been the best for years, and he was cheated.
He's a Norwegian grandmaster, and Hans Niemann supposedly cheated him to win, but here's the way he cheated, supposedly. Now, this is unsubstantiated, but this had my interest. Supposedly, Hans Niemann wore...
Anal beads.
wireless... electronically controlled vibrating anal beads.
Right on.
Yeah. And that was just his Friday night.
Oh, boy.
What he does on his personal time, how does that affect his chess?
Oh, we lost him.
He's like, well, the main story about this is anal beads. That's what I want to get into.
Oh, Greg is gone.
Dad, don't go fainting on me.
I never should have. I never should have brought up vibrating anal beads to start the podcast because it's just too much. But anyway, these are unsubstantiated reports. But imagine having a scandal in chess and it revolving around this kind of a controversy. Ultimately, quite frankly, it's good for chess because nobody pays attention to chess.
Sit down, Sorry.
What did Yeti just do?
Yeti's paying attention to the Mariners game right now, and they're winning against the Blue Jays.
Sorry, Greg. I'm so sorry.
Okay. No, you're not. I am.
It is sad, though, that that nobody knows the name of the world champion, but like people know like the Kardashian names.
Exactly. Right. And the only way people know Magnus Carlsen, he's defeated by anal beads, and that's the only reason people know his name. But here's the other controversy.
There's been a lot of cheating scandal. There was a poker cheating scandal this past week.
There was the fishing scandal.
Oh, the fishing. Wow.
I was going to bring up the fishing scandal. What was the poker scandal?
In a big high-stakes game, a lady made an insane call where she called down some guy who had 8 high and all she had was jack high. And the action was just insane where like a lot of people were thinking she would only know to make that call if she was cheating. Like no one ever calls with jack high. Hmm. And it was just where people are accusing her of either getting signals of the cards, and it's a big controversy.
Wow.
So they haven't figured out how, though?
She gave the money back, which was like makes people think she was cheating. She hasn't been caught. There's no like hard evidence of cheating. It's just basically it doesn't make any sense. Like there's zero explanation for a call in this spot unless you like misread your hand or you're cheating. So it's
wow. Were anal beads involved in that or no?
Anal beads were not involved. There was some sort of like still image of her with like some contraption on her hip and people were deciding was that an illegal device? So it's
okay. In the fishing tournament, and this interested me because I have fished once or twice in my life. No, I have. I seriously have.
Fishing this was, up until high school?
That's that's right.
I have seen people fish, so this interested me.
This was the Lake Erie Walleye Tournament in Ohio.
What?
And yeah, that's right. And these two guys, this tandem fishing team, won the tournament. And then after the tournament, I don't know whether they were suspected or whether this is de rigueur for fishing tournaments, but they cut open the fish just to make sure everything's on the up and up. And lead weights came out of the fish they were catching. So the cheating was they were putting not anal beads, but lead, heavy lead weights, like the size of a ping pong ball, into the mouth of these fish they had caught. And that's the reason their fish weighed more than other fish. And
what's wrong with society? What's happening with us? Why are we cheating so much?
Exactly. Here's another example of what is wrong with society. Did you guys read about this dog restaurant in San Francisco?
That's phrased weird.
It is weird.
Do dogs eat there?
Yes.
They serve dog.
Listen.
Oh, I thought it was that they served. I thought they served dog.
Oh wait, I can order dog?
No, they don't serve dogs.
Okay,
it's a San Francisco upscale restaurant that caters to dogs.
So it's Lady and the Tramp.
Is it catered to only dogs, or like I can go eat there and dogs also?
It's a dog restaurant. Owners bring in dogs, and they have $75 tastings, and one of the meals is green-lipped mussels with fermented carrots and wheatgrass.
I've actually seen a picture of this. The owners lay under the table.
That's not bad.
Yeah, but Dad, that's not as that's not as bad as the dog porn site called Only Dogs.
Oh gosh!
Right on.
That's pretty good, I have to admit, but. If you're wealthy enough to give your dog a $75 tasting, do you feel guilty at all walking past homeless people in the Mission District as you bring your dog in for a $75 tasting? You know, there has to be a point where you don't want to be so out there with your ostentatious coddling of pets, right?
They realize how bad that looks, so they actually, with the purchase of this $75 dog meal, you get a happy meal for an adult homeless person.
Okay.
It like comes with it.
All right. You know
I
what?
Can't that tell makes if you're it... joking or not.
I am joking.
Okay. Thank God.
No, see, Greg, I think, and maybe this is just my own, prejudices here, but like, I feel like if you're willing to go to a restaurant like that, yeah, you kind of don't care.
You don't care. Right.
Or at least most of the people that are willing to go to a restaurant, maybe there are plenty of philanthropic people who will go to a restaurant like that and do care. I don't know.
Yeah. Right. It's like bring your dog to the ballpark.
Well, that's different. That's totally different. Why? Because, your dogs run around. I mean, it's not like bringing your dog to a dog park. I mean, this is like you're paying $75. A homeless person would kill for $75.
75 doggers.
You're making it seem like this is the only waste of $75. Like you could find other things that like people that should go to homeless people.
Yeah, true. That's true. But
hey, the teachers. All right, Dad, let's enough with this. Can we get on to Greg Doesn't Know Movies?
Okay, we can do that. I had plenty of else to talk about, but maybe I'll get to some of it later. But yeah, let's do Greg Doesn't Know Movies because that's why Michael's here. He was put on earth for this reason. And he does a hell of a job.
I have an idea. Maybe for that segment, maybe try talking into your mic.
I think I am talking into my mic. I'm talking right to a man named Mike as well. So let's go.
That's my Michael.
Hello.
Here we are, folks. We're back for the Greg Doesn't Know Eat Bleep About Movies.
Under the Sea.
I hate you. So not you, Dad. We're Christopher.
All right. So we have there he is. All right, so we have a special rendition of Greg Doesn't Know Movies this week. My dad has claimed last week that if we did movies dated between 1970 and 1985, that he will crush this and knock it out of the park. So we have picked questions only with movies made in those years. So let's do this. We have 10 questions. I have to admit, I've seen some of these. I think my dad might be right. He might be onto something. I actually think my dad's going to do well here, at least at the beginning. So, Mike, let's get this going.
It will not be as fun if he does.
Right. No pressure.
All right, Greg, are you ready for question one?
Yes.
Name one of the actors that star in the original Ghostbusters movie.
Bill Murray.
Damn.
Wow.
How do you know Bill Murray?
Name any other ones?
He's
got to know the other one.
I can picture the guy. He was from SNL. He was like one of those B-list SNL guys.
See, that's what I'm saying. I thought he would have known any of them.
He's more of an A-list based off his last name, but
I can't think of any. I mean, Murray came right to mind. No, I'm not sure.
All right, you got it right. I mean, you technically got it right.
Okay, damn right I did.
All right, Dad, you ready for number two?
Yes.
What is the name of the movie about five high schoolers who are stuck in detention together and at first are seemingly very different, but after the magic of understanding and coordinated dancing, discovered they have more in common than they thought?
Wow, long explanation.
This is easy.
Yeah, it's so easy, though.
Okay, I had no idea until you said the word dance.
Oh, he's going to get it wrong.
And because of that word, I'm going to take a wild guess and say flash dance. Is that wrong?
Yeah, you're back.
Okay.
Oh, my what God, it's so great.
Dad, it has to do with a meal, like a meal you'll eat throughout the day.
Breakfast Club.
There you go. He hits a bunch of high schoolers. Flash dance.
I didn't know Breakfast Club concerned dancing.
Dad, it's always so great when you scare me into thinking you might have it, and then you just say something so crazy.
All right. Well, hey, I'm one for two. Batting 500.
I am a little worried, Chris. All right, here we go. Let's do it. Number three. Dad, if I say the name Mr. Miyagi, what movie am I talking about?
1,000% he gets this.
Mr. Miyagi?
Oh, God.
Really?
Chris, I told you.
Dad, really?
I have no clue.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Miyagi? No, why would I know that name?
Wax on, wax off?
Right on.
That doesn't help. What, is it a surfboard movie?
Yeah, that takes it further away.
No, that doesn't help me.
Wow.
So you don't know it?
Who's Miyagi?
Cobra Kai never dies?
No.
Wow.
Who is he?
All right, it's the Karate Kid.
Karate Kid. Okay.
Dad, you know what's so great is you take all of like the Asian out of it, so you have no chance of getting it. You're like Mr. Miyagi.
Okay. Well, he's the kid, but they call him Mister. So you know, wrap your head around that one.
Oh my Lord.
Oh no. Oh no.
Okay.
Oh my Lord, you went further away.
All right. I'm one for three. 333. That still gets me in the Hall of Fame.
He's the Karate Kid. They call him Mr.
Hey, Mr. That's Greg Cody's tagline for the movie. The Karate Kid. He's a Mr., but they call him the Kid.
Yeah. That's right.
Or he thinks he's a kid, sense. But they call him Mr.
It's like, Aki.
Oh, God. He's like, when does he go from a kid to a Mr.? Oh, my God.
It's a coming of age tale.
I was wrong so far.
All right. What's next?
Okay, Dad, number four. Who directed Star Wars, the original movie?
Steven Spielberg.
Ah!
No?
No.
I thought, sure, that was right.
George Lucas.
Oh, my God. I would have bet $100 that Spielberg was the right answer.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
I didn't even stop to think because I was so sure that was right. But now that you say George Lucas, that could have been right as well.
Well, it is right.
Okay. All right. If you say so.
Okay. So do you know how that movie I just named, Star Wars, was really popular? Like when you were, I don't know, when you were like 50 in the 70s?
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Can you name the title of either of the humongously popular original Star Wars sequels? One was in 1980 and the other was 1983. And I don't mean Star Wars 2 or Star Wars 3. Like, they had very well-known titles okay. to them.
Okay, I can think of a particular word, so I'm gonna take an educated guess. The Force Strikes Back. Is that right?
I mean, he's close.
That kind of thing.
All right, I'm close? Close enough to give it to me?
Actually, it is called the Force Is That Kind of Thing. All right, it's Empire Strikes Back.
When he was saying the one word thing, I thought he was just going to be like Jedi.
The Empire Strikes Back. I even had Strikes Back. You got to give me that.
What did Chris, he say? Hey,
the Force Strikes Jedi? Back. They do have one called The Force Awakens and Empire Strikes Back, and you just combined them both.
Never heard of it.
Chris, if not Jedi, I can picture him having said, all right, I don't know, you know, this could be wrong, but I'm thinking it's the word Vader.
Yeah, there you go. Darth Vader.
The last flash dance.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. Dad, you never disappoint. I love you.
Thank you.
All right. Next question. What actor is the main protagonist in the Alien movie franchise? And, like, I do have a hint for you because I think you still won't get it if I give you the hint.
Okay.
You want the hint?
He goes,
oh, you
okay.
do have a hint.
He goes, okay.
I don't know it without the hint.
All right. It's a female.
Wow. How about that? You know what? I can picture her name.
What?
That's a useless sentence.
I can't picture her name. I can picture her face. And
what does she look like?
You know, sort of a, I think a brunette, shortish hair, a little on the lanky side.
Actually, he's nailing it a little bit.
Yeah, he's actually nailing it.
You know, and she's got some weird name, Sigourney Weaver or something. Or...
Oh, what?
Is that right?
He goes, she has some weird name, Sigourney Weaver or
is
something.
Is that right?
Yes.
Got it. Wow.
That is hilarious.
That proves that deep down I knew that.
Even when you're right, you're just weird.
This was like,
that's great. Good
wow,
for
this
me.
Was kind of like that poker hand where you like stumbled into it. Now I think you're cheating.
Yeah, because there's no
Why'd
way
you say the full
that.
Name? Yeah, he's right. Why'd you say the full name
he's
there?
He's like, I have no clue. It's got to be a weird name, like the exact name that it is.
Right.
Yeah. I must have subliminally knew that.
Dude, I know. You said it's got to be a weird name like Sigourney Weaver. Like,
yeah, there you go. I'm on fire here in fuego.
All right, we're up. Let's go. Dad, what movie has the famous line, "You talking to me," in it?
Oh, wow. I know that. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, then I'm excited for this.
Taxi Driver.
Okay. That's good. You got it.
So what does he have? 2 right so far? He's like 2 for 7?
No, I've got like 3 right at least. No.
Hold on. I think he's gotten... He got Murray.
He got the first one right, and then he got that one right. Yeah.
That's it. After that, you got Sigourney, kind of.
Yeah, and this, so that's 3. I'm 3 for 7. I'm betting 429.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, 3 for 7.
All right, Dad. Let's go to the next one here.
It might be 8, though. Hey, it might be 3 for 8.
Go ahead.
All right. What movie has the character Travis Bickle in it?
Travis Bickle?
I had no idea about this one.
Yeah, I don't know. That name doesn't even ring a bell. Like, I've never heard it from.
Oh, this is music to my heart right here.
No, I don't know it.
Because this, you just happened to say all the things I wished you said, because this has to do with the previous question. You know, the movie you said was one of your all time favorites that you know by heart.
Yeah.
That's the name of Robert De Niro's character in Taxi Driver.
No way. Really?
Yes.
Wow. I never knew that.
The one that you just said you like love to death type thing.
Yeah. I love De Niro. Travis Bickle, right. Huh? Okay, that's an unrealistic name. Okay, I take a loss on that. I'm now 3 for 8, batting 375.
That worked the way I wanted it to, but it also didn't. I don't know why.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, I'm up. All right, Gregory.
Yeah.
I know that you're aware who wrote the book of The Shining. Do you know who directed the movie?
Who wrote the book of love is more like it. The song from the mid-60s.
Actually, side question. You do know who wrote the book, of course.
Oh, The Shining, that's Stephen King.
That area I know you know.
Yeah, Stephen King, one of my favorite authors. I'm one of his constant readers.
Now, remember, this is a classic, and this is a very classic, this is a well-known fact, what I'm talking about, the question here.
Okay, the question is not who wrote it, but who directed it?
Yes, the known movie, you know, here's Johnny, Jack Nicholson, who directed this movie.
Yeah, you don't have to explain Jack Nicholson in that scene.
What directing is.
Right.
I mean, you're over here, like, you're like, well, who wrote the, there was a movie? Like, you know, I don't know what you're going to say.
I would say the director was Mike Nichols.
That's so wrong.
That's a good guess.
No, it's actually a bad guess.
That should have gotten an appreciative nod from cinephiles.
Mike Nichols didn't direct that. It's Kubrick, Stanley Kubrick.
Oh, Stan Kubrick. Now that you mention it, he did. You're right.
Stan, good old Stan. Yeah.
Stan Van Kubrick.
Well, it's not now that I mention it. Like, he already did. No, you're like, now that you say it, I love how you do that sometimes. You're like, now that you say it, I now know the answer. Therefore, I got it right.
Yeah. Now that you say Stan Kubrick, I'm 100% on board. He did. He directed that. Okay. What's next?
Okay. Dad, who directed another movie that I'm aware you claim to love from this era is Animal House. Is it not?
Indeed. Oh, of course.
All right. That's another one, right? I'm just kidding. That wasn't the question.
Seen it about 10 times.
Right on.
Right on. How
have you? Who directed the movie Animal House?
Directors. Who pays attention to directors? Christ almighty.
I mean, wait, hold on, Chris. You tell me, is directors not a good questions to ask here?
Well, I just, like, it's one of those things where I don't know the answer to it. Like, we do try to get him with ones that, like, most people will know. I don't know if most people know this.
All right, that's a valid point. Well, but we're also talking about things from, like, this era, though. So, like,
Right, it was more difficult. Right.
Okay.
No, I mean, we are.
Yeah, but Chris, you also don't, like, you know, I would put you in the category of not knowing a lot about directors in general, too, though. Like, you're not far behind him with that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That it might be common.
People don't follow directors.
I bet you he knew all of these answers.
All right. My answer is Clyde Cadiddlehopper.
It's close. It's Clyde Cadiddlehopper Jr. It was the son.
Okay. All right. Who is the director?
No, it's John Landis.
Oh, God almighty.
You don't even know it when you hear it?
Yeah, John without the H. Too important to have an H in his name. He's J-O-N.
This is, either way, this is a success. Like, we got a few really good answers.
Wait, hold on. And let me be clear. Like, it is true that I asked about The Shining. Like, the only reason I asked, like Animal House is a movie that, like, he claims to know inside out. Like, that's the reason I asked, right, like, the director type question for this.
I'm just,
like,
not big on directors.
Right, but Dad, to Michael's point, he only asked you obscure questions on movies he knows you to claim that you're an expert on.
Yeah.
Right. Just like the taxi driver thing. Like, that's a pretty specific thing. But, like, you know, you just told the audience that you, like,
Dad,
that's what you're
all
talking
about. Directed Star Wars.
Yeah. I could have sworn it was Spielberg, and I'm still not convinced it wasn't.
He's like, he goes, I don't know these obscure people. Like,
well, directors, you know, it's like asking me the costume designer. You know, nobody pays attention to directors.
No, it's actually not.
I'm not asking you about indie films. We're talking about these, like, these all-time classic movies.
Films made in Indiana.
It's what? Literally the opposite of costume designer. It's the director.
Yeah.
Okay.
it's like the most famous movie of all time, I'm asking you.
All right. But John Landis is not... on anybody's Mount Greg Moore of directors, am I right?
Brad.
I mean, I don't know. I thought you knew Animal House. Like,
all right, well.
Right on.
Right on.
That's pretty much
it. No, that was good. That's it. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
a wrap. You know what? I got 3 out of 10.
It's a wrap.
It's rap, rap, rap. They call him the rapper.
The consensus is, Dad, that you still do not know things, even from your own era.
Well, I batted 300. That'll get me in the Hall of Fame. And in 1967... it would have come 1 point away from winning the AL batting title won by Carl Yastrzemski at 301 that year.
Oh, geez. Christ.
The lowest batting average of any batting champion, because it was the dead ball era.
Rap, rap, rap. They call him the rapper.
That's all you got to do to get him to be done.
Okay, dad joke of the week. Are you ready?
Sure.
Dad joke of the week.
All right, am I done?
Yeah, you can leave, Mike.
Okay, Michael, we'll see you, huh?
Toodles.
Okay. Dad joke of the week. What's a chicken's favorite vegetable? Dead air.
Onion.
Eggplant. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. That's pretty good. Eggplant. Okay. All right. Let's get to Aaron Eckblad, because I really enjoyed him. Honestly, I thought it was interesting. I think you will, too. Let's see. Hang on, I'm leaving Michael a message here. Hang on. He says, no, you do not need your laptop, period. By the way, comma, do you want to go see John Mellencamp in concert? Question mark.
He's a text dictator.
I don't, I do one finger at a time and it takes me forever.
Oh, boy.
I think older people are doing that. I bet Aaron Eckblad doesn't do that.
What?
Dictates texts.
Oh, I totally do. Why don't younger people do it?
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe it's just I don't do it.
Ask him. That'd be a good opening question.
Hello, you guys got us?
What up, Aaron?
Hey, Aaron, how you doing?
Great.
Thanks for joining us. I was actually, you came at the perfect time. I was just making fun of my dad here. Do you ever use the dictating text thing, or are you still texting with your fingers?
A little bit of both. Obviously, if I'm driving, I'm going to use that voice text deal.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But
in person, it's just, I always love how old a parent never sounds older than when they're dictating a text.
I agree with that. My dad does the same thing. Do you ever use the speak button? So if someone sends you a really long text and you're driving, you can just press and hold. It's press speak, and it'll speak the whole text to you. It's great.
Yeah.
Oh, it is great. Yeah. That's beautiful technology. I mean, you know, he makes fun of me when I go put a period at the end of a sentence when I dictate period, comma.
Comma. He enunciates. It's so funny. I don't know. It's just, I love to listen back to it.
Yeah.
So Aaron, thank you for joining us. We're going to get rolling here. First of all, I just found out you're a boater. So I have to ask you, what name did you give your boat? I'm guessing like a combination of a nautical name with a little hockey touch to it.
Yeah. I named it After Five, which is just kind of a play on, you know, after hockey, this is what I'm doing kind of deal. And
what are your top three pet peeves from other boaters?
Pet peeves?
Like with things that annoy you from other boaters? Because I don't know, like I'm more, when I go out on the boat, it's more of the sandbar thing. And there's a lot of unwritten rules, people getting too close, people not knowing what they're doing. I'm just wondering like things that you see out on the water that are most likely to annoy you.
I do a lot of fishing, not a lot of the sandbar stuff. But one thing would be when we're out sword fishing, we got a tip rod and a buoy rod. And the buoy rod's, you know, almost a mile away from the boat. And a lot of times on the weekends when you got a lot of people out there on the grounds, somebody will come run over your buoy rod. So having a little bit of awareness, situational awareness of what's going on, where you're, a lot of people are just trying to go to the Bahamas, but they don't realize that there's fish out there.
When you say swordfish, that I'm not a fisherman, but that's a big, impressive fish. That's deep sea fishing. That's like, I imagine that takes a long time to reel it in when you hook a swordfish. Like that's a real fight, right?
Yeah. You're using big, heavy rods. There's commercial rods that are electric. And then there's some where you can, you know, strap on an electric motor for the up and down. But if you want to fight it yourself, you can with those ones too. So I've heard anywhere from, you know, 20 minutes, the fish charges the boat to, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours for the biggest ones. Not that I've been in those situations. I've only had one that was about 4.5 hours, but that was on an electric rod. It was like a 350-pound fish. So
is that more annoying than playing like one night against Pat Maroon?
I don't know about that one.
Sorry, okay. I didn't want to bring. I know I'm bringing. I have a lot of hatred for Tampa, so it comes out in weird ways sometimes. Sorry,
it's all good.
Okay, what's the biggest fish you have ever boated?
That would be it. Sword fishing is kind of the biggest I've done so far, and we caught a 350, 325 pound fish, and it was pretty life changing.
Wow, that's crazy! 325 pounds?
Yeah, in that range between that. Yeah, the head is like bigger than your torso. It's pretty wild.
And do you say do you tell the coach I can't go tonight, coach? My legs are tired from reeling in a 320-pound fish for 4 hours.
That one's a little bit more finesse. That happened a couple of years ago in the summertime. That was more of a finesse game with an electric rod, big commercial electric reel. So I can't take too much credit. The reel did most of the work, but I did the harpooning. So I'll take that.
I assume you've had teammates out on the boat.
A few of them. A lot of them don't like it. They get seasick. The hours are sometimes just too long for them. They don't know what to do with themselves for that amount.
Okay.
If I agree to go out with you, but I'm nervous about getting seasick, what are the three things you're going to give me as ways, tips to not get seasick?
Maybe like a prophylactic Dramamine.
Okay.
And I would say leave your phone at home. When you're kind of looking at screen, looking down, that's where you kind of lose your situational awareness and you end up feeling the effects of it.
I like it.
Have you ever had a teammate on who's like pretty squeamish? Like, I'm not going to bait that hook. Bait it for me or, you know, just something like that.
No. Those guys aren't allowed on the boat.
Yeah. It probably takes you how long to like know if somebody really knows what they're doing out there? Like it takes you probably 1 minute.
Well, no, before they even get on the boat, they're usually telling you like, hey, I have no idea what I'm doing. It's fine to not know what you're doing. It's another thing to be scared or grossed out by fish.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Aaron, you, congratulations, I'm going to say, because you are still in the newlywed phase, right? You just got married a couple of months ago.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Congrats on that. How did you and the future Mrs. Ekblad meet, if I may ask?
We met at a bar in Fort Lauderdale while she was on vacation with her family. We're from the same hometown area. It just so happened we met in Florida. Interesting.
Oh, wow. So you're from Ontario, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And she's a doctor of osteopathic medicine, right?
She is. Yeah. She's currently
real slacker.
Yeah. She's second year of residency at Palmetto General Hospital in just outside Miami.
That is so cool. We're speaking with Aaron Ekblad. This comes out Monday, so I'm going to say the preseason has ended, and the season begins this coming Thursday at the Islanders. 3-game road trip, and then you all open at home October 19th against Philly, I believe. We're going to talk a little bit of hockey later. Aaron, I want to review last season and talk about the hopes for this year and all that stuff. But first, we want to ask you a few.
First, we've been talking to him for like 10 minutes.
That's true. So this would qualify as second then.
You were in the middle of talking about his wife, and then you just like went right into this like weird setup for the podcast.
Right.
I can't wait to play that back. It was like really strange. But are you going back to the wedding question now?
No, I don't want to pry.
This is how we roll around here, Aaron. My dad just like, we make fun of each other and it's father-son dynamic here. Right. He annoys me often.
I'm an amateur. I could ask you, Aaron, now that he mentions it, like at a wedding reception where you get to see teammates dancing, you get to see teammates in a situation you normally don't. Who had surprising dance moves on the floor, would you say?
You know what? Noel Achari. Not a current teammate, a past teammate, but sick dance moves on him. I think he actually gave my wife a bit of a lap dance at one point, which was great.
Now, there's a line you want to walk at a wedding of having a great time and not being a look at me, Louie. Was he okay? Did he not go?
He walked that line well. He did a great job.
Okay.
Yeah, Brett Connolly, I thought was great. It's hard to get that guy to step out of his comfort zone, but when he does.
Can we call one person out that we expected more from? Come on, Barkov. I need to see the something a little more.
Barky couldn't make it. A lot of those guys were obviously in Europe. A little bit hard.
Yeah.
But you know what? I got to give a special props to Radko Gudas, who flew from Czech Republic with his wife.
He's not missing that.
He flew in and flew out within 24 or 48 hours. He's the ultimate team guy.
Now, I'm vibing. I'm just going to come out and say it. I'm an anti-photo booth guy. I have to get dragged over there. Are you the guy bringing people over to the photo booth, or are you the guy who gets dragged over to the photo booth?
The photo booth was great. My wife did a great job with the wedding. She planned everything, and our photo booth was awesome. It was all black and white, and the pictures were available immediately for you to take home with you, framed and everything, so that was really cool. So I think a lot of people actually had a really good time at the photo booth. You would have liked it. This one was good.
It's one of those things that once I'm there, I love it too. In theory, I don't love it, but you're right. It's always, you never don't have fun at the photo booth with those big glasses, the big glasses. Yeah.
And what was the song you and your wife danced to? Your first song, the wedding song?
That'd be embarrassing. I couldn't remember. I almost couldn't for a second. It's I'm With You, and that's Vance Joy.
Nice.
Okay. What kind of music are you into? Like on the boat, what kind of tunes you got playing?
Always a mixture of like country and then some like upbeat, like mixes, stuff like that. It's like some house music, but not like the stuff where you're blowing your head off. It's just like,
oh, I love it. I'm in.
Chill. If you looked at Chill on SiriusXM, that's where you find a lot of the music that's on the boat.
That's crazy that you're entering your ninth season with the Panthers and you're only 26. I mean, you guys start as babies in the sport. It's insane.
Yeah, sooner or later, they're going to call me old.
I know, right? You're going to be the old guy.
It's coming at some point. I'm waiting for it. They're going to start calling me the old guy at some point. It ain't now. I love it.
You're going to be looking in the mirror to see gray in the beard in about 4 years, probably. Yeah.
You have like a good level of fame where like you can go most like, in South Florida, like, are you able to go most places or like the last few years now that you guys have gotten like close? Like, how's it go? How's that work for you?
Still nothing.
Really?
Which is great. I mean, I like that.
People, that's what I mean. It's perfect.
If they do notice me or us, our team, they typically aren't like in your face about it, which is really cool. They're very, very respectful, good people. So
yeah,
it's nice to have. Nice. Love it.
So you're not walking through the Sawgrass Mills Mall wearing an Ekblad jersey or anything like that?
I tend to stick east of 95 for the most part. So I'm not really down out that way too much.
That's a wise idea.
Other than game nights.
Are you a cook? Do you like to cook? And I have a reason for asking.
We're gonna ask a couple of Panthers questions too at some point. I know we're like coming out of left field.
I like to cook like meat. I have a Traeger grill, a normal grill, and I'm good with steaks and briskets and ribs and stuff like that. I enjoy that kind of thing, but I'm not doing it all the time.
Let's paint a scenario where me and my dad are, I know you're like, God, this sounds like my nightmare, where the three of us are going to hang out at your house for dinner and you have to impress us with something that you're creating. What would you be whipping up?
Well, I would only have the protein down. I'd leave everything else to everybody else, but I would do like a Snake River Farms Wagyu brisket. I'd let it smoke for about 12 hours at least, and it'd be fantastic.
All right. So maybe this weekend? All right. We'll talk to Addy. It's fine.
I think we'll be out of town.
Yeah. that's true. You get a little thing called an NHL season to worry about right now. Yeah, I'm a big green egg guy. I do the Boston Bot, but we won't get into that.
But it defeats the whole purpose because he always opens the green egg. The whole point of the green egg is you can figure out the temperature, so you're not supposed to open it. But this guy just can't resist. He always has to open it.
Well, once an hour.
Meter probe decks. Those are the best.
I know. I'm not a probe guy.
Hell yeah.
I'm old school. I don't do that.
You poke it a little bit and you understand how
that
is.
I don't do that. I cook it right on direct heat too. I put it right on the grill and yet it comes out great because I turn it once an hour, but I don't want to get into my little secrets and idiosyncrasies. Aaron, growing up where you did, are you automatically, have you curled? Are you into curling? How does that work?
He always does this. Anytime we have anyone with Canadian roots, he assumes that they like,
No curling, none, zero. No.
He's like 0-for-4. On that, with that.
Okay, I want to tell you my theory about curling.
Here we go.
Curling to me, I know it's a sport, it's in the Olympics. Curling looks like a sport where somebody like, even at my age, could spend a dedicated week learning the sport of curling and be pretty proficient at it after just a week. Is that true from what you know of curling? Christopher's shaking his head. Or do you think that curling takes more expertise than that?
I think it takes expertise. I think it takes a ton of flexibility, the way they get down there and do their stuff. Could you be okay at it? Sure. Could you compete at a professional level? Absolutely not. And I think that's true of pretty much every profession in the world. You got to do it for a lifetime.
What an appropriately dismissive response for me. All right, let's talk some hockey. Let's talk some Panthers. I'm a season ticket holder, very emotional fan. Like, I am so eager because the steps that the team has taken, I'm excited for this season. I have to admit, I was a little scared when I first see this Huberto trade. I'm like, oh my God, he's one of our guys. But the more I've watched and learned about Tkachuk, I'm excited about this. What message did you take from it, though? And what, like, if you're giving advice for fans that are scared and excited about this season, what was the message and the change that the team is going to see from Tkachuk as opposed to Huberto?
Yeah, and the coaching change as well.
Yeah, I mean, to start on the coaching, I'm sure you guys have had a little bit of exposure to it so far. I mean, Paul is one of the best speakers I've ever seen. And then in the three games that we've had with him, his in-game adjustments, his ability to read the game, understand situations, and the fact that he's seen so many different situations play out in the preseason, regular season, training camp, postseason, he's able to make these adjustments based on his feel of what he's seen in the past and what works and what doesn't work. And that kind of experience is irreplaceable. And his ability to portray that to the team and get us to do it is impressive. Being in one of his video meetings is like watching a documentary. He's incredible with his speaking. And then to talk on the Weegs and Huberto thing, you have to kind of understand the root cause of it is, you know, probably cap space, stuff like that, right? So we got a fantastic player in Tkachuk back, and they felt like that was the right move to make to continue to change and evolve as a team. So obviously, you know, for me personally, it's sad to see those guys go, but at the end of the day, it's a business of hockey, and we're excited to see what we can do as a team. And I think Matthew's a fantastic player, an awesome person. We've got along very well so far, so we're happy.
Aaron, a couple more questions, then we're going to let you go. I wonder how you processed last season, because it was difficult for me, and I think it probably was for a lot of fans. You had a wonderful season that ended badly. You had the greatest regular season in club history. You win the first playoff series since 1996. And yet that's the way it ended.
That is something, though, taking a step. All right. You said.
And yet the Tampa Bay series could not have gone any worse than it did. And so when you look at the entirety of last season, successful year, bad taste, how do you process what happened?
Yeah, I mean, Tampa's a team that has the blueprint, right? They know how to win. And, you know, what are we doing this year? We're looking at them, you know, stealing some of their blueprint and trying to, you know, fit it into our game and change the way we play so that we're not just a good regular season team, so that we're a good postseason team. So that's what we're going to continue to implement into this culture. We're a good team. We want to be great. And, you know, the blueprint is what it's all about. It's a way of doing things that has led them to the 3 Stanley Cups, you know, finals and 2 cups out of it. So we're continuing to learn from them. We're continuing to push ourselves, push our team. You know, Barkey and I have been here the longest. We've kind of seen both ends of it, and we're not you know, satisfied at any point. Whether we lost in 6 games or lost in 4 games to Tampa, we'd be sitting here saying the same thing, the ultimate disappointment. But we took a step as a team, and we're going to continue to take those steps year after year. And, you know, hopefully we'll find that blueprint.
Hockey players are so tough. Is there something in your life that you don't react like, you know, you stub your toe and you, like, you know, shriek, just like you're really afraid of frogs or something? Like, just give me something that relates you to me, because I'm not tough at all. And you guys, you're so tough. Like, what's like an irrational fear you have? Anything?
I don't really have like irrational fears of anything. I mean, I'm scared of, if an alligator was at my feet, I'd be scared.
Okay, an alligator.
Welcome
that's,
to the club.
That, yeah, that's not that irrational.
I'm a human being.
Okay. I'm a human being. Okay, like, you know, spiders? You're not afraid of spiders or anything?
I don't like spiders, no. I mean, it's nice that we don't get a lot of spiders here. At least I don't in my house. But back home, we've got a ton, so sure, spiders.
I want to leave you on the upbeat here. What's the happiest you've been on the ice? Happiest moment? Happiest game?
So far in my career, I mean, there's been a lot of like fun goals scored and comebacks and stuff like that, but winning that series against Washington,
yeah.
As a team, what we went through personally, what I went through just to, you know, get back and play, was really obviously satisfied with that. That was sitting in the room, you know, having a beer on the plane on the way home was extra sweet. Just, knowing what I had gone through in the previous, you know, 2 years and what the team has gone through to get to that point, finally win a series. You know, that's 8 years for me of working our ass off to get to that point. So it was bittersweet for sure. To lose to Tampa was not the way we wanted it, but to take that step was, you know, it was great.
Yeah. And not only what you've been through personally with injuries, but what the club went through, you know, with the Quenneville situation. And it was such a trial for the team, such a test. And you guys came through all that and had a wonderful season. You guys have been through the fire a little bit and paid some dues. You know, I have a feeling that something great may be in store, and I wish you guys all the luck.
You have a feeling?
Yeah, I just have a feeling. You know, I believe in.
All right. Wow. Like, you can leave here now, like Aaron, that. And be like, wow, that guy has a feeling. Can you go,
no, you know what?
Can you go tell the whole crew?
Yeah, tell them that. I mean, this is good. Why play the season? You know, you guys are going to have a great year. Don't worry about it. No, but Aaron.
Doesn't hockey hurt? That's my last question.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We always joke before the first preseason game, like, remember this moment. It's the best you're going to feel for the next 185 days. So,
yeah,
that's how it goes.
Hey, give one to Pat Maroon for me, will you?
Sounds good.
Aaron, thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thank you. All right, guys, settle down. I know we're all excited. I mean, my Lobos, we are the reigning PFBI fantasy champs, and you know that we're number one right now, atop the league at 3-1.
Oh, yeah, no.
Damn right. I mean, seriously, I feel the excitement. I see some long faces out there, too. Jarvis, Landry, I'm going to get you in. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. It's all about the W right now. There's no I in W. So anyway, listen, I want to address why we're 3-1, why we're off to a good start. Let me tell you something, both. It's got little to do with blocking or tackling, okay? It has to do right here. It has to do with our heart, our team heart. You know what?
Our tart.
That's right. We lost our season opener, right? Y'all remember? Our heart didn't quake. It didn't cower. It didn't shrink. You know what our heart did? Our heart grew. The Lobo heart beats big. Beats. The Lobo heart beats big.
Is there a dog in here?
Beats on its way, the Lobo heart does. And it got me to thinking, my boss, you know, the typical, I looked this up, I didn't know it, I'm not a doctor. The typical human heart weighs between half a pound and 1 pound, okay? We found the guy who has the biggest heart in America. It's in the medical books. His heart weighs 6.4 pounds, a medical miracle, the largest heart on record of any human ever. He has a Lobo heart, is what he has, this man. His name is Calvin Sificate. Calcificate. And I invited him to address you all on what having a big heart truly means. Cal, the paddle is yours. Low, low, low your boat.
Thank you, Coach. Like I told you on the phone earlier, this has been quite a burden for me in my life.
That's right.
Do you have a dog?
We have a team dog, but I didn't think he was in the room. Guys, anybody see Lobo? No? All right, if you see him, kick him out.
I find it difficult to stand up here and potentially motivate a team with the drag that my life is.
Yeah.
I have an enlarged heart, and it has affected my life very negatively.
Oh.
It's been a big struggle having an enlarged heart. I've go to the doctor 4 times a week. I can't swallow food whole, so all my meals are liquid.
Whoa.
My heart takes up a big part of my chest. And
Cal, I didn't realize that you had that kind of physical limitation, but I wanted you here because you have the heart of a champion is what you have. Your spirit is also enlarged, and that's what we wanted. That's what our men to take from you is just the spirit in that chest of yours beating like a 6.4 pine heart.
I've also been divorced 4 times in 6 years.
Whoa.
My kids won't talk to me.
Jeez, Cal, I'm so sorry. Guys.
I feel I told you on the phone that I didn't feel equipped to address a team, and you insisted, you know, because of my unfortunate enlarged heart that I'm hoping to get surgically removed in the next 6 to 9 months.
Oh, wow. Cal, I had no idea. I'm so sorry that we brought you in for this.
If you look at my ankle, I can hardly move.
You have giant ankles. There's no doubt about it. What do you weigh? I'm just curious.
429 pounds.
Okay, Cal, I'm so sorry. I didn't, I know my guys out there. They're into it. You guys are into it. I hear you. You're into this, man.
Let him leave, Coach.
Okay, we're going to let him leave. Cal, we're going to get you out of here.
Do you have a wheelchair, possibly?
Yeah, we do have a stretcher in the training room that we use for extraordinary circumstances. So we're going to bring that stretcher in here, training staff. Wheel a stretcher in here for Calcificate, please.
I don't even know what to say to you. This couldn't have gone more poorly.
Well, we appreciate you taking your big, giant body, your big heart. You're in here. You made an effort. You're the man with the biggest heart in America. We're the team with the biggest heart in America.
I'm a Dick's Rough Rider fan, too.
Whoa, okay, all right, well. Oh, now you're talking. Whoa, that's the Lobo. I know, boo, don't go. No, don't boo him. Don't boo him.
I can't move my right foot, but I can still kick your ass.
Okay, he's Cal's getting a little feisty here. Guys, all right, calm down, Cal. We appreciate you. We're going to give you a couple of Lobos t-shirts and decals on the way out. We appreciate
it. Blow it out your ass.
All right, well, okay.
All right, Dolphins Twitter. You still like Skylar Thompson? How do you feel about Skylar Thompson now, huh, Dolphins Twitter? I mean, it was what a non-game that was.
Like,
are we supposed to take away stuff about the Dolphins from that game when they were missing two offensive linemen, their two starting corners, their top two quarterbacks? You know, we can just, Dolphins are 3-2 after 5.
Right.
I'm happy. We're on to Cincinnati.
It is amazing, though, that Skylar Thompson was Mr. August. He was like the darling of the preseason. And once he gets into a real game against a first team defensive unit, he looked like a guy who just was not ready. All of a sudden, he looked like what he is, a 7th-round draft pick from Kansas State.
Another takeaway from the game. Hey, Tyreek Hill, let's not try to tackle Quinnen Williams at the 3 yard line. Even though you stopped him, they scored on the next play. Just let him go. We don't need you getting hurt trying to tackle a 400 pound guy.
I tell you, in South Florida football, the honeymoon is over. The Dolphins start 3-0. They're now 3-2. Thud. The UM football Hurricanes start 2-0. They're now 2-3. Thud.
Dolphins are actually good though. The Canes stink.
Well, the
Dolphins defense is good. You can't take anything away from today. Like we're up on the Dolphins right now. This is not a negative. The honeymoon's not over. We think we are a good team.
Okay.
And that's it.
That's fair. I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And UM, I mean, how do you stinks. Have a guy throw for almost 500 yards and lose that game?
You know what a fun game is? It's going to be fun in all the ACC games because no matter what the Canes do, they're going to get respect in the ACC.
Right.
Bet the other team money line against the Canes. It's been really fun. It's on a nice run.
By the way, the Coastal Division in the ACC is the worst division in the history of college football. Miami doesn't win that division, it's an embarrassment.
I'm glad that you're saving this for the end of the podcast because it's perfect. I just want to go take a nice little nap now. Like, there's nothing more boring than ACC Coastal talk.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, UM has no excuse. They're not in the other division with four ranked teams. They're in the coasting division.
Right.
They need to win that division. No excuses, Mario. Get it done. That kind of thing.
All right. Good episode.
Yeah, it was a good episode. We really appreciate Aaron Ekblad joining us.
I have no idea what the name is, Sigourney Weaver.
That's right.
That's like the poker scandal. Like I need that explained to me. I think there was cheating going on there.
Okay. Well, you never know. You never know. But thank you all. We'll let you all go. Be back next week because it's going to be extra special. Extra, extra special. Hey, that kind of thing.